Welcome to Pilgrim Talk.
Well, welcome to Pilgrim Talk, and here we're honoured to have both Dave and Chris. Chris Rowe, we've dug him out of darkest Tala. He's here. And so how are you keeping, Chris?
Good, good. And we're blessed. We've just had a really powerful time. And I've been very much on this theme of what has already been accomplished as far as God is concerned. And he wants us to actually start downloading it. That's the word, the operative word, that he wants us to take on board.
You've just discovered downloading, Chris, have you?
Here's a verse for you, Anthony. The whole creation, angels included, are standing on tiptoe to see the sons of God come into their own and to find that those sons of God can't get out of bed in the morning unless they absolutely have to. Those sons of God respond better to threats of judgment than they do to promises of love. Fear is a stronger motive than love,
dear.
At least in some kind of love that we're used to. The kind of love that has to be bribed with short-term gains. The kind of self-referential love that views the whole of life in terms of immediate, selfish advantage. So what is it going to take to motivate us for the highest and best instead of the lowest and least? The unattainable maximum rather than the irreducible minimum. And I just added this bit. There's one more thing that God could do. Besides giving them their creature comforts, like the carrot or the stick for the donkey. Creature comforts, the carrot or the stick for the donkey. He could come and live inside us by his Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And mystery, put that kind of dynamic, explosive life into action that marked the life of his son when he was on the earth. He would walk the streets of our cities, labor with our labors, share our joys, weep with our sorrows, and he would put potential for greatness into the poorest of people if they but asked him. And he would give to them the very highest and noblest of callings. One little lady, just to give you one text of scripture, says, he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap and sets them among princes and makes them inherit throne of glory.
That's wild.
Isn't that incredible? Read it again. I
often think, Chris, the amazing thing is when Jesus was on the earth and he walked amongst his disciples, right? If you wanted to see Jesus, you had to go to a place at a time and you might meet him, okay? This is when he was walking the shores of Galilee, whatever. But then the Lord told his disciples one day, he says, it's better for me to go and send the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And they would have been shocked because the lads would have been having a great time with the miracles and the, you know, everything that was going on. And he said, better I go away, lads. You know, what a shocking thing to tell them. But the plan was, so when he went, he'd send the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Who would not just be in one place one time, but it would invade the lives and the interior hearts of the believers.
Yes.
And now today, there's millions of people who are filled with the Holy Spirit who, you know, just doing the works of Jesus.
Yeah,
only God could think of that idea. So fantastic.
And just illustrates the grace of God, you know, that he wasn't satisfied that we should exist on the memory of, you know, Jesus, a great figure in the past, but that we could know the reality of his presence now.
Yeah.
Of his presence now.
That's right.
You know, with us on the park bench.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Every day.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
My goodness.
Did you ever see the film years ago, The Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
It was a film about
these aliens that inhabited people, and then you see people would be infected and others wouldn't know, and it was spreading all over the place. But I mean, this is a sanctified version, you know, that the Lord would inhabit his people and it would spread. Like, I mean, somewhere in the Bible I think it talks about the kingdom of heaven being like yeast, doesn't it? Now, in other cases, I know it talks about yeast in a negative term, like the yeast of the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. But there's a positive time it's used, and talking about the kingdom spreading, yeah. You know, and I.
But you know,
it's alluding to the Holy Spirit.
We were sharing that verse earlier on. You know, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, and that came from David's heart of longing and seeking after God.
Mm.
You know, yeah. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. But if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you're not a doorkeeper. You're family.
Mm.
You're family. You know, you're not a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. You're family in the house.
You're a key holder.
Yeah, you are. And yet, you know, how far we live from even David's experience. You know, that Christians actually say, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Yeah. Well, come on, waken up. Waken up. You're not a doorkeeper. You're family. So get in there and be family.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think when we get to see the Lord, we'll end up kicking ourselves for all the opportunity that we missed, all we could have lived in, that we didn't.
Yeah,
because
wow.
We just didn't believe it. We didn't believe that we were family enough to go out and do something about it.
And on that text of greater works than these shall ye do,
yeah.
You know, because I go to my Father, surely I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Greater works than these he will do. Because I go to my Father, John 14:12.
Can you explain that, Chris?
The
greater
try.
Works, yeah.
He says, because I go to my Father. And that tells me that this is not a distancing of him from us, but rather the reverse. It's because he goes to the Father that we can do the greater works in and through his indwelling of us by the Holy Spirit. He's going to the Father. He's going to the Father was the key to doing the same works in the same way as
like
he did
that.
Them.
That's brilliant.
In his relationship to his Father. So when he says, come to me, all you who labor, and that sounds like work, and are heavy laden, and that sounds like even more work, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That tells me that this rest that he's talking about is the rest of moving in partnership with him. If we're in harness with him, that's what I understand from that idea of being yoked together with him. He's not just in the driving seat, he's yoked together with us. He says, and if we're in harness with him, then any labor will be in rest, and the rest of knowing that he supplies everything that we could possibly need. Wow. Indeed, it's him doing the work through us. So that's what I understand by this greater works than these. Yes, it's him doing the greater works.
As a work, say being yoked together, am I correct in saying the use of a mature oxen who
exactly.
knew where to go and
yeah.
did the heavy work, and the young one was being trained and was in beside
yeah.
and
yeah.
was pulling all right, but not pulling as hard as the other one, and
no.
certainly being directed by the other one. Is that a good way
that's
of
it. That's
putting
exactly it?
You know, so we're
yeah.
yoked together with the Lord, and he's doing the heavy lifting. We just kind of. We're like the mouse who sat on the elephant's shoulder. Have you heard that story? They went across a rope bridge, and the rope bridge swung heavily, and they arrived on the other side, and the mouse who was sitting on the elephant's ear said to the elephant, "We sure shook that bridge, didn't we?" And,
I think the Irish ploughing championships. I've
yeah.
never been there, but as far as I know, it's not just with tractors.
They do the traditional horse one.
Yes,
they
yeah.
do, yeah.
Or even two horses.
Mm.
Yeah.
And this would be very, very interesting to see.
But can you imagine, how on earth would you train an animal to plough if you didn't already have one that was trained?
Yeah.
How would you start from scratch? You know, you couldn't.
I
read,
know.
Read in the manual.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
manual
but,
on ploughing, read it to the horse.
Well, you know, it just doesn't work. And, you know, for us, how would we know how to be Christians unless the Holy Spirit was speaking in our hearts? Unless you were getting these promptings, you know, say that to this person or do that or, you know, we wouldn't know what to do. We wouldn't
True.
Know. We couldn't be trained.
Yeah.
Yes, and I believe these works that he's got for us to do are already accomplished right? Mm. And Jesus brings it out when he says, they're my Father's works. He says, all that I see the Father do, whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. John 5:19. Or again, I must work the works of him that sent me. John 9. Or again, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And so on over and over again. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. He was doing the Father's works as he saw the Father and as he was moving in relationship to the Father. And that's when he turns around and he says, assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me will do the works that I do, and he will do them also. So that's something that really is incredible. And we can move in, instead of running around like headless chicken, we can move in a rest as far as what we're supposed to be doing here.
And it opens up the whole vista, Chris, of understanding how to hear the voice of the Lord.
Yeah.
Because clearly, one, you know, the Lord can speak to you and lead you and to do or say or whatever, something. And I think most Christians say they struggle to different degrees about that, hearing the voice of the Lord. I heard somebody say that if you are a true Christian, if you've truly come into a relationship with God, well, you did hear his voice once.
Right.
So that's a starting point, which is true. But I heard a great one from a guy, Conrad Gillies, his name. He's a German chap, a lovely guy who comes over to Ireland a little bit. And he was giving an illustration of how to hear God. And in the illustration, he spoke to the guy next to him, but in a really quiet whisper. And so that encouraged the other person to come really close to them, come really close to hear what he was saying. And then when they got really close, he could hear what's being said. And in a similar way, for us to hear God, we have to get close to God.
Mm.
You know, we can't be off galloping around in a noisy place and think we can hear the voice of God. So there is that intimacy in relationship. It's an ongoing thing.
Yeah,
of course. I quote the words of an older hymn. He says, through the noise of earth's 10,000 voices, songs of joy, din of busy mart, comes a sound to which thine ear must hearken. It is the Saviour knocking at thy heart.
Oh, we had a guy in Mullingar today, we're doing a bit of outreach, and he rolled down the window. I had a Jesus sign, and we were at a traffic junction, and he was a taxi driver, and he rolled down his window and he said, where is Jesus? I said to him, I said, he's right here knocking on the door of your heart. And he kind of went off then. I had to think about that one. But it's true, the Lord is knocking on the hearts of many people these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Chris, you were today, I know you were somewhere praying with some Christians, was it?
Yes.
Do you want to send anything on it? Tell us about it, because
Liberty Church down there in the Liberties. And they are fabulous. And they wanted people whom they call the fathers.
Yeah.
And as it happens to be my birthday today.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, it's state secret how old you are, Chris, secret. So we
and, we
do carbon dating on you or something.
And do carbon dating, that's good. And they reckon that I might qualify to be looked on as a father at the church.
Mm. Right, yeah.
So they invited me, and along with others, 10 or more leaders, who they referred to as the fathers
right.
of the church
yeah.
in the city, to pray with their whole congregation. And there was 150 of them to be prayed with.
My goodness.
So we were really busy. And we prayed for every individual there. Said, look, God is passing on what we call heritage.
Yeah.
And he expects, like any good father, you want your kids to do better than you did. You want them to go further. You didn't get a chance maybe for a university education, you want your kids to get one. And you'll work and kill yourself and work overtime in order to give your kids a better chance than you had. Mm. And the incredible thing is, God wants to go further every generation. So any of you who are listening there to this study will say, we can say to them, God wants you to go further than we've gone.
Mm.
Believe it or not, he wants you to go further than we've gone. Mm. And that's...
I know Liberty Church has such a great heart for people. I'll tell you a secret about that church. If you manage to go in there in the middle of the night and pull back all the chairs and you roll up the carpet in that building, what you'll find written on the concrete is loads and loads of names. And they're the names of all the people that the church members were praying for at the time they occupied that building. Isn't that wonderful? Written on the concrete, and apparently a lot of them have already come to the Lord. Mm-hmm. But, I always have a great heart for churches or Christians who are seen outside of their walls and reaching out, because that's why we're here. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to bring glory to God and extend His kingdom. Mm. Hallelujah. So,
amen.
Good. Yeah. Well, listen, it's been a pleasure having you all here. And so we're going to say goodbye. And
all right.
And thanks for tuning in. Tune in next time. And who knows where we'll go, who we'll have, what we'll do. It's always a mystery on Pilgrim Talk. God bless you.
God bless you.
Yes. Amen.